by Durow to center. Lundvik shoots. He scores! Johnny Lundvik does it again!
Jarvis in close shot. There's a goal! Seth Jarvis, the 17-year-old, short side, glove side, high, just under the crossbar.
Cutting to the front of the net, and they score. Reese Newkirk along the right wing just took the pass. That was phenomenal patience from Seth Jarvis and the Winter Hawk.
Hey, this is Reese Newkirk, and you're listening to the Pucklandia podcast.
Hi, I'm Joel Holt of the Portland Winterhawks, and you're listening to the Pucklandia podcast.
Welcome into Pucklandia. This is Josh Kreitzer with dubnetwork.ca. We've got a little bit of a weekend preview for you here. Pleased to be joined now by Glenn Erickson. He's our Dub Network contributor. Glenn, how's it going today, man?
Hey, real good, Josh. Appreciate the invitation. Always fun. Always fun talking hockey. Especially with a lot of Portland Winterhawk aficionado like yourself. Going to be an interesting weekend for you folks down there.
Yeah, I know a lot of fans are excited to see Kelowna. I know you spent a good amount of time up there, and I believe you now moved over to Medicine Hat. Is that correct?
Yeah, 14 years in Kelowna, so a terrific opportunity to see the Rockets on a regular basis. I was actually fortunate to watch the organization win a couple of Western Hockey League championships over that time. But, Medicine Hat is kind of where we landed last year, and that just relates to, being a little closer to our families in Saskatchewan as they get on in years. We'll just call that the circle of life, but certainly it's nice to land in a junior hockey city here, Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Yeah. How have you noticed, is there big differences between, the two different organizations and kind of how they're run from your experience?
Oh boy, there's a loaded question. A little bit. I think in my first year with Medicine Hat, there are some things that the Tigers like to do that are a little different than the Rockets. And of course, I was fortunate to be, quite immersed in Kelowna, given the amount of time I was there. So a little bit of an adjustment getting used to how things are done in Medicine Hat. One of the big differences I see, Josh, is just the way that the hockey clubs are supported. Kelowna continues to draw quite well, probably top five or six in the entire Western Hockey League relative to average attendance. And in Medicine Hat, it's been a little tougher here, perhaps, a tougher economy to some degree, but a wonderful new facility here and an outstanding hockey team that is being challenged to draw over 3,000 people per night. So I've noticed that as a big difference, but at the end of the day, both of these junior hockey organizations have terrific Western Hockey League history, and just a pleasure to continue to be involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice when you get an opportunity to kind of see a different market. For me, coming from Minnesota to Portland and kind of going from the NCAA route down to out here now to kind of the WHL, you kind of see how different organizations are run in different levels. So yeah, I can certainly respect that and kind of just see how different some of those towns are and just how they do hockey differently. And, it's not necessarily saying one's better or worse than the other, right? Between, Kelowna and Med Hat or, Minnesota and Oregon, it's, they're just different, right? So
plenty of history, Josh, as far as both organizations go. Interestingly, a couple of seasons ago, perhaps it was last year, Kelowna was celebrating their 25th year as a franchise in the Western Hockey League, and this season in Medicine Hat, the primary talking point has been the Tigers celebrating their 50th year in the Western Hockey League. So there have been a lot of opportunities to kind of stroll down memory lane with folks involved with the Tigers organization. And, myself, I grew up in Saskatoon with the Western Hockey League and still a bit of a soft spot in my heart for my Saskatoon Blades. And there were many, many playoff series back in the 70s between the Blades and the Medicine Hat Tigers. And it's always nice to reminisce about events, junior hockey related, that I recall from my years growing up. And again, just terrific to be involved with the Western Hockey League, and nice to sort of cut my teeth learning a little bit about the Medicine Hat Tigers and their history.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe as we kind of look back at this upcoming matchup between these two teams, and you know, overall, kind of how's Kelowna's season going from what you've seen so far? I know that with them hosting the Memorial Cup, and I believe they're currently third in the BC, and you know, I know they've kind of had some injuries and a whole bunch of trades and stuff, but maybe just overall from your perspective and from what you've seen and covered and talked within the organization, how would you describe their season so far?
I think it's been really difficult, for the organization. I think for the brass, for Bruce Hamilton, Lauren Fry, they've probably had, a real difficult time because, you know, there was kind of an off-season commitment and an eye on, juggling the roster a little bit with the Memorial Cup in mind. We'll maybe get into that a bit later. But I spoke with a good friend of mine in Kelowna, Larry Fisher, who landed in Kelowna in 2008 and was the beat writer with the Kelowna Daily Courier. And, you know, both Larry and I, we cannot remember since probably 2005, 2008, in that time, a season where the Kelowna Rockets have suffered so many injuries, and not just, injuries, to depth guys who are maybe missing a weekend or this type of thing, long-term serious injuries to key players. And over the years, the Rockets have been able to stay, relatively healthy, especially with their their key players, their top producers. But this season, in many ways, on the injury front, Josh, has been an absolute disaster for the Rockets. I think it's testimony to the fortitude of the players who have been able to battle through the challenges. This hockey team has won 21 games, and there's, I think, so much focus on how difficult and inconsistent the performance has been, that a lot of us have maybe forgotten that they've still managed to win 21 games. I would submit to you, they have yet to have their full lineup healthy on the ice. We're 41 games into the season with 27 games to go. So the clock's ticking. But all in all, a real, real challenging season for the Rockets.
Yeah, so I believe you put something out on Twitter today, just the number of guys that are most likely going to miss this weekend, on the injury front, and unfortunately they got some more bad news here in the past day or so. But I guess what do you see for number of guys that are going to be available this weekend? I know they're in Everett tonight here on Friday before they come into Portland, and that's a tough 3-3. But what do you see from the roster of who's actually available? I mean, it seems like they've got a good, quite a list of guys. You almost got almost like a little bit of an all-star team if you took who's out of the lineup.
Yeah, you've nailed it. Again, key players. Let me take you back to November 10th and 11th, 2018. That's the last time the Rockets visited Portland. And again, it was a doubleheader. Portland won both games, 3-0 and 4-2. If I look at the Rockets roster then and the Rockets roster today, there are likely three players that fans in Portland will see who were part of that Rockets team just last season. Devin Steffler, Dallin Wilton, and Ethan Ernst. And I would submit to you that those players, while still developing, are not household names. Probably not very highly recognized, certainly in the Portland market, unless someone is really rolling up their sleeves and doing homework relative to their opponents. Mark Lewiski is another player who may be on the roster. He's questionable for this weekend. So that would make a total of four players. None of those four would be considered, sort of top six forwards. So, I like to see rivalries like this, the BC division, the US division, Canada, United States. I think it would be terrific if the Rockets were able to blow through Everett and Portland this weekend and really put their best foot forward. But I think it's going to be extremely difficult for them to do so. On the injury front, Kyle Topping broke his ankle on October 30th and hasn't played since. He's one of the 20-year-olds and, you know, a point per game guy over the course of his career. I think fans in Portland will recognize the name. His brother, Jordan Topping, had a pretty successful career with the Tri-City Americans. So as U.S. division rivals, I think Hawks fans would have seen the Americans over the years and recognized that Jordan Topping could flat play. Kyle Topping, an 11th round Bantam draft pick. So, you know, that's pretty darn good, you know, for a guy to come along and have a full four-year career. He's a 20-year-old with Kelowna. He may be in the lineup 2 weeks from now. So the Rockets have been without him. He's only played 14 games this year. Liam Kindry, a 19-year-old, just last weekend absorbed a hit, went into the boards, broken collarbone. He's done for about the next month. He's another guy that would be considered a top six forward. Nolan Foote, it hasn't gotten a lot of press, but Nolan has played, if I'm not mistaken, he's missed, 13 of the last 14 Rockets games. The majority of that is due to his attendance at the World Junior Championship, where he was part of the gold medal winning Team Canada. But he was injured in his first game back in Kamloops, and you know, now he's listed week to week. So he's a little bit banged up. Sean Comrie is a 19-year-old defenseman who was acquired by the Rockets at the trade, the Bantam draft. And really was coming into his own this season. Adam Foote really liked how he was progressing. 19 years old, but still a rookie in the Western Hockey League. You know, he was skating in on a rush in Regina in December while they were on the road and in the attacking zone, fell into the boards, really banged up his shoulder, and has been out of the lineup ever since. He's still a couple of weeks away. And the word there is that he'll be playing with a brace of some sort. He won't be healthy through the Memorial Cup in May. And surgery, I understand, is on the radar for him when the hockey season is over. And, of course, Roman Bazarin, starting goaltender, got in a fight last weekend with Dylan Garand, the Kamloops Blazers goaltender, and looked like he maybe tweaked a shoulder or a chest muscle or something like this. He's going to miss the weekend. So they're going to play Cole Schwebius over the course of the games versus Portland and Everett. I think that Hawks fans might recognize Schwebius from his time as a member of the Seattle Thunderbirds. And maybe the biggest challenge for Kelowna is to come up with a way to replace Caden Korzak. Obviously the top defenseman, overwhelmingly their best defenseman this season, has played in all 41 games. He'll miss the next three, suspended for his actions against Kamloops last weekend. He left the ice and then returned during that that melee, that that line brawl. In fairness to Korzak, though, the amount of hockey he's played over the course of the season, these three games might serve him well. He certainly is a guy who needs a rest. But, you know, those are key players up front, on the back end, in goal. Real tough to replace them. You don't just replace top six guys with your bottom six and move forward seamlessly. It's going to be a challenging weekend for the Rockets.
Yeah, you know, that's a lot of injuries. I know, you know, trying, you know, thinking about for Portland's perspective, you know, just looking how many, you know, what that would mean to, if they lost that many players, just kind of what that would do to your depth. And, you know, like you mentioned, trying to elevate, you know, guys who are, you know, further developing, you know, sure, it may, you know, they may be able to step up for a game or two here and there, but, you know, you're asking a lot for some of your depth guys to really elevate their play that often. And you talked a little bit about some of the experience. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is how much you think, you know, there's, Kelowna's kind of almost become the BC version of the Seattle Thunderbirds. You know, they've got a decent amount of, you know, former Seattle players on their team, including, you know, Matthew Wedman, who was a captain for them. Hamiluk, who was having a real good year last year until he had a, you know, the leg injury that he sustained in a game against Portland. And then also in that draft, the Bantam draft trade with Jake Lee that he came over with. And then you already mentioned Schwabius, who, like you said, you know, Portland fans are very familiar with him. So how much do you think some of that experience of some of these Seattle guys who are, you know, familiar with playing in Portland? I know a lot of coaches talk about, and, you know, I know Matt Audette talks in Seattle all the time about how, you know, you have to kind of maintain your composure in these buildings in Portland, because when Portland gets one, they sometimes can get two and three rather quickly. So how much do you think that experience from some of those guys is maybe going to help some of these younger Rockets, or maybe guys who aren't familiar with what it's like playing in Portland?
Well, you know what, Josh, it has to help. These guys have to find a way to contribute and provide that leadership. And you make a terrific point, that familiarity with the different buildings and the antics, the atmosphere, and that type of thing. That's one thing that I've always suggested. You know, I've always had a soft spot for 20-year-olds, because a lot of these guys are playing in the Western Hockey League, undrafted, likely destined for post-secondary educational opportunities and what we refer to as youth sports hockey in Canada, likely the best kept secret in terms of the quality of play when a lot of these Western Hockey Leaguers graduate. And Wedman is one of those 20-year-olds. I think he was a terrific addition. He had a tough time. I talked at length about some injuries. I want to just address something with Matt Wedman. When he was acquired from the Thunderbirds, he didn't just land in Kelowna. He made his way to Saskatchewan because the Rockets were on their East Division trip. So sort of a planes, trains, and automobiles type of thing for Matthew. And he joined the team on the road. When they got back into Kelowna, Matthew still had to run back to Seattle and retrieve a bunch of his belongings. He might have spent 36 hours in Kelowna over his first 2 weeks as a member of the Rockets. So he did provide, you know, some leadership, some offensive punch right out of the gate. And as I said, I think a terrific addition. And Bruce Hamilton told me that he likes Wedman because he's been a captain before in the Western Hockey League, and really thought that that he would be able to help Nolan Foote, you know, the current team captain, and just really spread that leadership responsibility around a little bit. Dylan Hamulek's another guy. Again, talked about injuries at length, but there hasn't been a lot said about the challenges that Hamulek has dealt with this year. Certainly there's the knee injury from last year, and he got off to a heck of a good start with Kelowna, but was quite lethargic through about mid-October and into November, and the Rockets were quite concerned, didn't really know where to go. You know, is this the flu or this type of thing? You know, gosh, does he not want to be here? And he wasn't very productive on the ice. Well, he was diagnosed with mononucleosis. So effectively through November, Hamulek was not productive and wasn't sort of that able to produce that fierce power forward like performance that people were expecting. And mono is a debilitating illness. Certainly fatigue is a big part of it, but I've been through it myself, and I went through it at, you know, I'll say grade 12. So that's junior hockey age. And one of the things that occurs is the spleen enlarges. So imagine your spleen becoming a bigger and bigger water balloon. Well, that means that the type of contact that you deal with when you play hockey at a pretty high level becomes pretty dangerous. So Hamulek wasn't available to the Rockets for their entire swing through the East Division in December. He's just starting to get his legs back, but he didn't really appear on the injury report over the weeks. Again, a key guy in the top six who wasn't really able to perform. Jake Lee, you know what? I think he's probably been pretty good. I don't think there are a lot of competent guy. He's appeared in 39 of 41 games, so I think you have to say that he's a durable defenseman. Schwabius, well, he outplayed James Porter Jr., who's now in Spokane, and Porter had been with the Rockets for a couple of years, so he played well enough in the preseason and early in the season to sort of take over that number two spot behind Roman Bazarin. So all in all, these Seattle guys are a real key part of the current core. And I think, you know, as individuals, they all have a different skill set, but the kind of skill set and the physical prowess that can be extremely valuable to the Rockets, you know, as we move into the last half of the second half of the season, into the early rounds of the playoffs. These guys are going to be very key, and in particular over the next couple of weeks when the Rockets begin to see more of the BC division teams and also more of the US division teams. Everyone in the BC division this year has played a minimum of 13 times against US division opponents. The Rockets have only played US division teams 8 times this year. Believe it or not, the Rockets are 7-1 against Wow. US division teams this season, far and away the best record among BC division teams against United States division opponents. Although it's going to be very difficult for them to come away with a win or two this weekend.
That's a lot of good insight there. We appreciate that. You know, that really helps, you know, Portland fans kind of figure out, you know, and especially when they kind of look at the roster for upcoming, kind of, you know, what to expect with, you know, some of the guys that they are familiar with. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, going to kind of have to, you know, take a step up, like you mentioned. And, you know, that stat that you just shared there about, you know, being 7-1 and, you know, a 3-3 with 2 against Portland and 1 against Everett, you know, all on the road. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes fans, you know, just kind of look game to game, but, you know, one of the things that I looked at too is the travel is they've got a later start tonight. They're starting at 7:35 up in Everett. And then the Saturday game in Portland starts at 6. So, you know, they've got 2 games starting within 23 hours, plus, you know, 4 or 5 hours worth of travel, depending upon, you know, stops and all that and weather going up, you know, up I-5 there or south, I guess, in that case. But so, you know, the Rockets have got a challenge ahead of themselves this weekend, just in the sheer amount of travel and amount of games that they're going to play in such a short period of time. But one of the things I did want to ask you about is, you know, the trade deadline was recently here back on the 10th. And, you know, I think there was a lot of eyes, especially, you know, for Portland fans who are kind of taking a look, you know, as they sit atop the U.S. division, kind of looking at, all right, what kind of what's the path to making the Memorial Cup? And one of the, you know, there's all this kind of talk about, all right, what's Kelowna going to add and who are they going to add? And, you know, I don't think maybe any of the big, you know, marquee former first round picks in the NHL draft ended up in Kelowna, like maybe some were expecting or fairly or not expecting. But what do you make of Kelowna's, you know, trade deadline? But, you know, also, I guess it's maybe not even just fair to say trade deadline, but kind of the whole trade season, because, you know, they've been tinkering with that roster for a couple months now.
Well, I think we have the benefit of 2020 vision, right? You know, given what you and I do with Tub Network and how we try to focus on staying informed about the teams that we follow. And when I think about the trades that have been made over the course of the season this year, I think, you know, there are probably a couple that I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockets would like to revisit them. You know, there may have been a deal or two made in haste. You know, I think after the Topping injury, when they found out, you know, the severity of that broken ankle and how long he was going to be out, you know, it may have forced their hand a little bit. Having said that, in some of the deals where they did move assets, by that I mean players, guys who were in the lineup, you know, they did move players who were not necessarily going to be top six guys during this Memorial Cup year, but, you know, players who likely could have had an impact, you know, moving forward, you know, through next season and the season after that. Trade deadline, that's a tricky proposition, Josh. You know what? I would probably take a different view of the Kelowna Rockets at the deadline, and I would say I'm glad that they didn't do anything outlandish. Over the course of the first half of the season and beginning at the Western Hockey League Bantam Draft in May, the Rockets have really kind of given away a number of their draft picks over the course of 21, 22, and 23. the organization was adamant that they wanted to keep their high round picks in 2020. Because word is, it's a pretty deep draft, and picks, you know, as low as the fourth round have very much been sought after in deals that teams have been making. So to find that guy, if people are disappointed that that Bruce Hamilton and Lauren Frey weren't able to pull a rabbit out of the hat at the trade deadline, so a la Leon Draisaitl or back to 2009, Mikhail Backlund, it doesn't really bother me necessarily, because when I look at the roster and presume that at one point this current group will be healthy, there is significant talent, and there's tremendous depth in their top six, which gives them a great opportunity to be effective, competitive during a week-long tournament like the Memorial Cup. This business I hear in the marketplace, be it media or different fan bases who, you know, are of the opinion that a Memorial Cup host has to kind of run the table through the regular season and be that dominant team. Well, you know what? Hey, that's maybe a good story. Sure, let's call it sexy if that happens. But at the end of the day, I think the key thing for Kelowna, make the playoffs. If they can play two rounds, I think that's pretty good, because that's going to give them a chance to play some intense, meaningful hockey. If they were to get to a third round, that would be a tremendous bonus. But as we've seen in recent years, the Western Hockey League champion has had a real tough time at the Memorial Cup. I just think those teams have been played out. Seattle, they had a real hard time when they went to Memorial Cup, that series against Regina, where they won the championship away from home. All of the Western Hockey League playoff champions have quite a row to hoe to win those four best of seven series. So I'm confident that Kelowna has real good depth and talent. I think the organization feels the same way. It's just they've got too many players that are kind of playing in the wrong spot right now. It's tough to take guys from your bottom six, insert them into your top six, and expect them to be as productive as your key guys would be. Compounding that, once you move guys up from your bottom six, what do you replace those guys with? And that's where the depth really, really is important. And right now, the Kelowna Rockets, they don't have the depth, and I don't think they were going to be able to address that at the trade deadline.
Yeah. One of the things, too, with that is I think a lot of times people lose sight of this, and that's one of the things I brought up at the trade deadline was that, hey, remember that these aren't NHL players. These are, in some cases, minors, and they're junior hockey players. These aren't pros. And you have to imagine, especially seeing the sheer number of trades that took place, that there's got to be some, I don't want to say doubt in players' minds, but like, am I the next one that's going to get moved? So do you think there's anything to it, or is that maybe overplayed, the fact of that, okay, it's now past January 10th, these guys can relax, and you know you're going to be part of the team, you know you've kind of got your spot, you kind of know here's what's going to happen once everybody gets back. Do you make anything of that?
Yeah, absolutely, Josh. I think it's a great point. I think there's validity to that. The first half of the season, the case in point I could make relative to the Kelowna Rockets would be, you know, a terrific young guy, one of their 20-year-olds who started the season as a real key forward, Leif Mattsson. Leif was a guy, a career Kelowna Rocket, played his entire Western Hockey League career in Kelowna. And when they acquired Matthew Wedman, Leif was kind of the odd man out. And that occurred in early December. You know, that's a month away from the trade deadline. And, you know, Leif had been asked this year to do a few things maybe over and above what he has done in previous years. They really wanted him to begin to excel as a leader. And by all accounts, he did. What happens? They make a trade for a solid forward like Wedman, an NHL drafted guy. And they've got to make a deal to find, Leif a place to play. So that would have been difficult for him. I guess maybe the anvil has been lifted. With the trade deadline passed now, everybody can sort of look forward. The most important thing, again, I think for Kelowna right now is to ensure that that they qualify for the postseason.
Yeah. One of the guys I wanted to ask you about was Pavel Novak and kind of how his season's been. I know he, you know, he had that suspension that I know maybe derailed, you know, part of his time, but kind of what have you seen from him, you know, 31 points in the 33 games that he's played, you know, after being a, you know, first round import, what have you seen out of his game and kind of how do you feel he fits in with the group?
A real pleasant surprise, I think, for Kelowna this season. As Novak came in, a bit of a slow start, but, you know, he caught fire and became a real key guy on the power play. You know what? He's only played 33 games. That eight-game suspension, again, that really hurt Kelowna because that occurred, you know, while Dylan Hamulik was ill. It occurred while Kyle Topping was out of the lineup. It had an impact on the trip out east in December. You know what? Pavel Novak came in here as a bit of an unknown, has shown the ability to, you know, to pick corners, quick release. One of the tough things for these young guys when they come over from Europe is to learn how to find space on a smaller ice surface. You know, the shooting angles are a little different as well. And, you know, Novak has made a terrific account for himself and most certainly would be a guy who has found his way into the Kelowna Rockets top six. You know, imagine that as a rookie, you know, in his draft year. And he's a top six forward in the Western Hockey League. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, one of the things I did also want to kind of check in with you on is, you know, a lot gets made in playoffs and in the Memorial Cup and short tournaments as special teams play. And I believe as entering the weekend, Kelowna's, you know, power play is 17th out of 22. Is that just the kind of going, I hate to bring back up the injuries again, but you think it's just no chemistry with that top group, or what do you make of the power play and how does Adam Foote and his coaching staff get that ship righted?
Well, it's a total lack of continuity, Josh. And that relates to, you know, players in and out of the lineup and, you know, a constant juggling act. And I think very difficult, you know, for the special teams to create consistency. And that also relates to what's happening on the back end. I find it very interesting, the acquisition of Connor McDonald, a defenseman from the Edmonton Oil Kings. You know, here's another guy. He's 10 games into it with the Kelowna Rockets, but prior to playing a couple of games, you know, a game before Christmas, he hadn't played for a month. You know, he had kind of suggested to the Oil Kings that, you know, he was kind of, you know, going to leave for personal reasons. And again, hadn't played for a month, lands in Kelowna, had 3 points in his first game. So that was impressive. But he's a guy that is going to take over, I guess, a lot of the minutes that Sean Comrie would have played. I think Caden Korzak and Connor McDonald give them a couple of good defensemen who can work really well on the power play. But Korzak, for example, has had to devote a significant number of time as a penalty killer this year due to the availability of other defensemen this season and, you know, the injury bug and that type of thing. So those two guys on defense, I think, can be really productive. But what can Adam Foote and Vern Fiddler, what can they do with the group up front? Can they come up with a number one power play unit that they can roll out game after game after game? You know, they simply haven't been able to do that this year. The example I look at, what I'm seeing here in Medicine Hat this season, the Tigers are rolling five forwards on their number one power play unit. That's the top producing power play unit in the league. They're outstanding. Their second power play unit, interestingly to me, generally consists of three defensemen and two forwards. So they've kind of come up with an approach here in Medicine Hat that has yielded some pretty good results. Now consider this. The Medicine Hat Tigers have given up the most shorthanded goals in the league. None of them at home, all on the road. But that also doesn't mean that all of those shorthanded goals have been scored against the five forward power play unit. But that power play unit is the most proficient in the league. And because they're a high scoring team with three forward lines providing production, you know, they're able to live with giving up the odd shorty. Kelowna doesn't have that luxury. It's tough for them to come up with one consistent five-person unit. And everybody has had to be so interchangeable over the course of the first 41 games that consistency has been tremendously elusive. I don't think you can necessarily lay that on the coaching staff. Again, they have to work with what they have to work with, but it's been tremendously challenging. What other coaching staff would be having success with this kind of group relative to the power play? I don't know. You know, is there a magic formula somewhere in another city? Bottom line is, when they get healthy and have an opportunity to begin to roll out a consistent group on special teams, I think you'll begin to see that they do have some offensive punch and an ability to make other teams pay. The downside for Kelowna relative to special teams is, at this point, they take far too many penalties. Again, with people in and out of the lineup, they're not a real puck possession team at this point. They don't control the puck. And if you're not controlling the puck, inevitably you're chasing. I think if you're chasing, there's a likelihood that, you know, you're going to lay the lumber on somebody here. Or, you know, if you're not skating, you might get a little lazy. And Kelowna has taken, you know, a lot of penalties, almost a domino effect. There's just have been so many challenges come at this group this season that it's been difficult for any one unit to provide any kind of consistency.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that has given teams fits when they've played against Portland is Mike Johnson is rolling four lines basically all throughout the game, maybe up until about, you know, with 8 minutes left in the third, where he maybe slowly starts to shorten the bench. But, you know, Portland hits teams with speed, you know, with all four lines, and, you know, they've got, you know, they don't really have a Cody Glass or Joachim Blickfeld this year. They, you know, they don't have really any of those high end guys. I wouldn't even say they have a Nolan Foote per se, who's, you know, who can be, you know, what we saw him do on the power play and offensively at World Juniors. But, you know, it's kind of this scoring by committee and the number of players that they have that are scoring. So it'll be interesting to see, like how you mentioned, you know, Portland is very much a puck possession team. That's how they feel confident playing, and they generate speed off the rush and continue to just throw speed after speed at you. So I'm really curious to see how that shakes out. So with that, Glenn, what do you kind of, if you had to make a prediction, or kind of how do you see these games going this weekend here down in Portland?
Boy, I think if Everett plays to its capability and if Portland plays to its capability, I sincerely believe that it would be difficult for the Rockets to get any of those contests to overtime. Let me see if I can pull something up here. I want to rattle off five names for you.
Yeah.
Rylan Kovacevic, Dylan Whiteman, Jared Newell, Noah Dory, Cole Tisdale. I'm not sure how many hockey fans in Portland recognize those names, but those are five affiliate players that could potentially see the ice this weekend. You know, they're young players. They have a combined game count. Get this. 16 Western Hockey League appearances. So, you know what? This is a team that is in dire straits this weekend. And I just don't see them. The trick here, I think, for Kelowna is if they can find a way to score early, okay?
Yep.
If they can score early, then, you know, that might produce some jump, build some confidence, and make them start to feel really good about themselves. If they can get a couple of big stops from the goaltender, then, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to keep the game close as you get into the third period. On the other side of the coin, if Everett or Portland happen to get off to quick starts, you know, I think that there's a very real possibility that that could be, you know, tremendously disheartening for the Rockets, you know, who are going to be down there in the States this weekend with a bit of a makeshift roster. So I think potentially, you know, a fragile group mentally, a little shy on the skill that they might need to compete with, you know, a couple of Western Hockey League teams who are ranked in the top 10 in the entire CHL. It's a tall order for the players to roll into Everett and Portland this weekend and feel confident that they can, you know, hang one on a couple of the top teams in the league. I think it would be tremendous for their confidence if they had some success tonight in Everett. But by the time we get to Sunday evening, I think that they're going to be a very tired group. I think the high-end players with Kelowna who are in the lineup, you know, the Wedmans, the Hamilucks, the Novaks, they're going to see a lot of ice as long as the games are close. And I think it's going to be a very challenging weekend for them.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. You know, Portland is, you know, both teams have travel. Portland has, they're in Spokane on Friday evening here. And I know from hearing from the team that they're going to treat Saturday like a road game as well. So they're actually spending the evening and the night in Tri-City and are going to roll into Portland as if it was a road game on Saturday. So, you know, there's always this talk about kind of, you know, how do teams decide to break up the travel and how do they want to do it and kind of where do they decide to sleep? And, you know, Portland over the years has, under Mike Johnson, seems to value getting a good night's rest and kind of in a consistent place as best as you can while on the road. And, you know, so that they're going to be at a very familiar spot and be able to kind of sleep in a bed and not on the bus and, you know, kind of have as best of a normal day as you can. So I'm real curious to see kind of how this all works. Portland's, if you want to call it one of their top, you know, top six, top three guys in Seth Jarvis was at the CHL, NHL top prospects game played on Thursday. And so he won't be able to play tonight. So he'll be in theory, well rested for Saturday and Sunday. And he's, you know, he's got speed to burn. So I'll be real curious to see kind of how the two teams do. And, you know, both have got tough opponents and there's no easy wins or easy opponents. So yeah, I'm real curious. There's, you know, we always talk kind of what's the expectation for the weekend. And, you know, from a Portland perspective, a lot of the answers I've gotten is 4 or 5 out of 6 points. And, you know, how those points come, you know, just given the way that the standings are between these two teams, between Portland and Kelowna, I don't know if Portland necessarily cares, you know, after getting 3 out of 4 from Victoria. Yeah, they gave up, you know, 3 of 4 as well to Victoria, but they don't care as much about those because that's not the teams that they're fighting for in the standings as much as maybe they would be within their own division or looking at some of the wild card spots. So this is going to be a real fascinating series. Mike Johnson's talked about, hey, you know, regardless, this is a team that's hosting the Memorial Cup. They've got some older players. They've got some guys who have experience and some guys that are, you know, prepared, and they've got a coach with who's got, you know, NHL pedigree, and so it's going to be a fun series to watch.
You know, I think that's really interesting, Josh. Boy, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Mike Johnson. I've enjoyed the opportunities to speak with him over the years when he's come through Kelowna and certainly Don Hay. I think that's kind of a neat idea. One of those, you know, those behind the scenes strategies to keep the guys as fresh as possible, right? Get a little bit of road work done after the game in Spokane, spend the night in Tri, and then travel during the day back to Portland for the first game against Kelowna. Again, I think that's kind of neat. You know, I do think though that the points are important because at the same time that the Winterhawks have this opportunity this weekend, you know what, the other U.S. division teams are playing as well. And, you know, every point's important to them. You know, one thing here, I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts here. Saturday night, you're going to see three guys in a Rockets uniform. Alex Svetlakov, big burly forward, Michael Farron, and although he's questionable, Mark Lewiski. That's a forward unit that I think could fairly be viewed as the Rockets' third line. They have experience in the Western Hockey League, some pretty good chemistry, particularly Svetlakov and Lewiski from last season. But again, a real good, solid, experienced third line. Watch where they play over the course of the weekend. Watch where they play. Are they playing, you know, sort of among the top six? Are they playing as a unit? Are they split up? When the Kelowna Rockets can send Svetlakov, Lewiski, and Farron out as a third line, sort of an energy line, a checking line, they're very versatile. They can also be productive offensively. When the Rockets get to a point where they can send them out as a third line, then you can move guys like Ethan Ernst, Jake Poole, a rookie this year, Dallin Wilton, second-year player, big, strong kid. Well, now you got a fourth line with some experience and some size,
yep,
and some offensive ability as well. That's a pretty darn good bottom six. But keep an eye on where Svetlakov, Lewiski, and Farron play. Hopefully Lewiski will be able to suit up on Saturday and Sunday at least. And secondly, we talk about how unhealthy the Rockets have been. The injury bug has just been nattering at them all season long. They play 3-3 this weekend. Well, they're back at it next weekend. They play 3-3. After that, January 26th, they'll go 11 days and only play two games. And those two games are a home and away set against the Spokane Chiefs.
Well,
after that, it's the doubleheader against Portland. All told here, between January 26th and February 17th, Kelowna only plays one road game. So this might be a break in the schedule that really helps the group to sort of come together. It will enable the guys who are injured to be around the guys who are playing. Everybody has an opportunity, to be together and potentially become, even more cohesive than they'll tell you they already are. So there might be some light at the end of the tunnel here. Kelowna has to be very cognizant that it will be difficult for them to catch the Victoria Royals for second place in the BC division, but they've got to look over their shoulders at the Vancouver Giants. The Rockets are 7 points ahead of the Giants, a team that probably should be or was looked upon to be better than they've been so far. But Kelowna has to find a way to scrape for every point that they can. But I believe there's some relief in the schedule coming for Kelowna once they get through their next half a dozen games.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's amazing how some of these schedules work out, with these junior teams. I can't imagine trying to figure all this out with all that and building availability and all that. But yeah, that's for them to, six games in what, 12 days or something like that, to then, two over the next stretch. So yeah, hopefully it allows them to get healthy. I think it's better for the league, and it's better for everyone when you've got a strong league and it brings a lot of attention into the league when it's a Mem Cup hosting year. And so I think overall it's better for the league when Kelowna's doing well. And, I think there's still plenty of time, and there's a lot of this of it's, when are you playing your best hockey, and would you rather be playing your best hockey in November and December, or, as you get into the spring months? So, it's all about gelling at the right time, because, if they end up winning the Memorial Cup, nobody will look back at the trade deadline and have any more questions. They won't care about where they finished. So that's what it's all about at the end, is you're playing for a championship.
Yeah, terrific point. And you know what, the Rockets have been thrust into the spotlight, from the day they were awarded host status for the 2020 Memorial Cup. And it's been extremely difficult for them on the ice since then, not making the playoffs last season, and then with some of the challenges so far in 2019-20. But, I can tell you one thing, having spent some time with the management team and the Rockets over the years, they're not shying away from this. There's some disappointment there, but there's also tremendous pride. So, I think that they're going to do everything in their power to be good representatives. They're going to be on the receiving end here in the next few weeks. They're going to take some shots, some of them of the cheap variety. It's been going on all year. It'll continue. but that's not going to deter them as an ownership group, a management team, and as a group of players from trying to put their best foot forward every night out.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Glenn. I know I've kept you maybe longer than we had originally talked about, but that's what happens when you get talking hockey. How can the people in Portland follow you or read some of your work?
Well, dubnetwork.ca. You know, I'm excited to, you know, to have the opportunity to work with you, Josh. You're a workhorse in Portland and do a terrific job. And, you know, I like what, you know, Paul Figler, Jesse Phillips, you know, Brandon Rivers and the guys, they do a good job of keeping us all in line. You know what, we all enjoy the Western Hockey League. We're in the rinks, we're talking with the players, we're talking with the coaches, and I just would urge people to give us a look and give us a look frequently, because the content is you know, generally refreshed every day. You know, they can subscribe to the Daily Dose. I'm kind of separating my time this year between the Medicine Hat Tigers beat and also keeping an eye on the Kelowna Rockets.
Yeah. How about on Twitter? You got a Twitter you want to throw?
Yeah, Twitter, you know, at Glenn Erickson 51. You know, nothing fancy there. Glenn is just a four-letter word. And from time to time, you know, I'll make some noise out there. It might not necessarily always be hockey. There might be a little golf in there. And we've got an interesting political landscape up in Canada. So my opinions are my own, and I'm not necessarily afraid to share them at my age.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So, well, thank you so much for your time. I'm looking forward to watching the games this weekend and getting back in the rink. You know, any day that ends in Y is a good day to be at the rink in my eyes.
That's for sure. I hope you guys get great crowds in Portland and get real fired up over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, it should be a good time. So thanks again for your time, Glenn, and we'll see you around the rink.
You're welcome. Take it easy, Josh.
Yep, see ya.